One recording on. Let's see, get the other one kicked in. Looks like it's up and running. And we'll get started. And good afternoon, TNT Super Fantastic Family. Today is Monday, marvelous Monday, April 30, 2018. Yours truly, Ray Vend here, along with...
Good morning, TNT. How you guys doing today?
They're doing pretty good.
Fantastic. Just so we know, super fantastic. All right, what's the word, Ray?
Well, you know, it was extremely quiet on Friday and going into the weekend. And the only updates that I posted on Sunday was that the Association of Private Banks partnered with CBI at the University of Baghdad, the college campus, to promote new banking services to the students and to give them free services. Also that the CBI says that the Memorandum of Understanding signed with Visa International allows Iraqi citizens worldwide use. And that was it as far as the updates for the weekend. So that just takes us right to present status on where we are and what we're looking forward to.
Well, okay. Wait a minute, let me get this out. All right, guys. I'm just wondering if anybody has the real answer. Anybody on this call can give me the answer? I give you part of Ray's dinar. Because I really want to know what's going on.
You won't get much.
Okay. All right, guys. So let's think about what is going on, what else is going on. Do we do a call Friday? Nope.
No.
We didn't do a call
on Friday.
And we were waiting to see what was happening right now, what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you the bank side, and I'm going to give you Iraq side, and we're going to figure it out again because it's not anybody's fault. So the bank thought, and most of the people in the banking world that we deal with, the information they were having was this would be done by the end of the month. That's what they said. And they've been saying that since the first of the month, that it was going to be over with by the end of the month. That's what they were calculating everything on. Memos, training, people there talk, everything else. And this was coming from branch managers, district managers, high-up managers, people and resources in the bank. It was coming from memos and everything else that they were getting. So, I mean, I know the day is not over with yet, but we'll just look at what we're doing. Saturday, Sunday, even today, the banks are quiet. We're not hearing anything. Now, Friday, there were two things going around as far as banks. There was, Ray, you doing something?
Yeah, I was moving some paper.
Ray? Oh, okay. All right. There were bankers complaining because they were just finding out that this thing was real. So there's a bunch of emails going back and forth, phone calls going back and forth. Banks talking about they're not ready, their people not ready. How are they supposed to explain this? Everything else. So they were having a miserable Friday because they were just finding out. Then there were, again, two banks. One saying they're not getting a big enough piece of the pie. Hey, they want to be a foundation. Then they were trying to get with the Treasury Department, saying, can we make changes? All this was going on in the banking system on Thursday and Friday. Everybody was quiet over the weekend. Everybody's been quiet this morning. But that's what they were trying to do. Wednesday, we didn't have much, but right after the call, about an hour after, started getting calls from everywhere, giving us this information. This is what's going on. Have you heard this, seen this, that? And we got down to, they have what you call, you got to send your bankers, because they can tell you this stuff. They have what you call U-codes. So when they sit down at their computer, they were putting in their, this might be a little bit too in-depth, but anyway, they were putting in their U-codes, and when they put them in, they had memos popping up that they had to read before they could even start, telling them basically what was going on, what was going to happen, what wasn't going to happen, how this thing was working now. So that's how in-depth we were with getting that. Everybody was, no, not everybody. I'm going to say some of the exchange locations and call centers got one message, while other parts of the bank were getting a different message. So it was really confusing for them on Thursday and Friday as far as the banks go. They're not here. But we're still waiting. The Treasury on Saturday or Sunday is when I got the information. Said still to look for it between now and I'll just tell you next week. Between now and next week, they said still look for it. Could pop up just like that. Now, here's why. This week in Iraq, they just came up with two more holidays, Wednesday and Thursday. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's 365 days in the year. I don't know how many of you guys knew that. But out of those 365 days, 150 of them are holidays in Iraq. 150 of them are holidays in Iraq. So they don't have a long working year. So part of their responsibility is to change that. Because countries that are bringing money in, people bringing money in, are saying there's not enough working days in the year and time to reap the benefits that we would anywhere else. So they are supposed to be making an adjustment to that, just so you're aware. But this week, Wednesday and Thursday are holidays, religious holidays to do with the Imam. But everybody is supposed to be off except for the education and the ministry, which I really don't understand. But everybody else is going to disrupt their week for that, Wednesday and Thursday. Friday is Friday, as we already know. In Iraq, we don't expect much at that time. So, if it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, we're looking to next week or next weekend. Sometime in there that this could go live. Or could go today or tomorrow. But they could say, we don't care about their holiday. Let's just go. Except their CBI does it. So, I want to get that part out the way. Anybody want to talk about that? We can talk about it. But let's look at what did happen in Iraq over the week and how that brings us closer to what we're looking for. And that was their week of financial inclusion. Now, they have this, and it's on April the 27th of every year. Every year they have a week of financial inclusion. It starts on April 27th. But pretty sure this is the first year we've actually heard about it, watched it, and got results from it. So they've had what they call fairs or events all week long. They've had them at the universities. They had them at the malls. They had them at anywhere where people gather. They've had them at the banks, private banks and government banks. What were they doing at all these fairs? Well, Iraq's issue, and while we haven't seen the RV, they couldn't get all the 3-0 notes in. Now, they couldn't get all the 3-0 notes in because they couldn't get the people to believe in the banks. They don't believe in the banks because last time when Saddam was there, they had banks, and the banks took all their money. So they start hiding their money in their houses, you know, up under the mattress, under the floorboards, in the backyard, in a hole in the ground. But they did not trust banks. So they have to build that trust all over again in order to get the people to bring in the 3-0 notes, in order to get them to take the lower denoms. They have to get the people not only to believe in the currency, because, you know, they still want to hold dollars because they trust dollars, but they have to get them to believe in their financial system. So all the educating they've been doing on TV, on the big screens, everything else, they really funnel into this week by having all the banks go out and sign as many people as they can. Free banking accounts, free checking accounts. We're in charge of people. They were handing out Visa cards, MasterCards for free, just trying to get them out there, trying to get people signed up so they can say, this is how we're going to transfer your money. This is how you don't have to go to that one bank every time, but you can go to any bank and you can access your money, whether you're traveling or you're on the internet. Explaining everything to them, how the new banking system works, how they are international, letting them see all the safety precautions that are put in to protect them from their bank, and let them know with this and all these safety features, nobody can steal your money now. You don't have to carry it all in your pocket where you can be robbed. You don't have to carry it all in your pocket where every day somebody can charge you a different rate to go exchange your money from dollars to dinar or to buy something when they tell you, well, the rate is so-and-so today because they have different rates depending on what area you're in. It's all the same on this card wherever you go. And this is how we're going to control the rate in the country. So politicians already know because they started with them. They've given it to a lot of the adults that they could get in, but they decided, and their biggest populace is where their future is, and that's the young people. So they finally gotten down to them. Everybody that already has a job, that already gets paid, they've already switched all them over because that's the only way they've been getting paid since January is through the electronic system. So they're saying, we got that controlled. How do we get the rest of them? So they start at the universities. I mean, no sense starting in high school or the elementary school, right? They went out to the universities to the kids who don't have jobs but are smart enough to get into the schools. They went out to the malls. People evidently have some kind of money because that's why they're at the malls shopping. Then they went to the street corners and all the banks, anywhere there's a gathering. They were trying to educate people about the banking system, trying to get them to sign up. And by doing that, they enticed them with two things. The cards, which would make it universal for them, and loans. They're giving out loans left and right. Tell them they're eligible for car loans from 20 million to 40 million dinar. But you got to have an account. You got to have a way to get paid. You got to be part of our electronic system, basically. They're giving them educational loans. They're giving them business loans. They're just saying, here's some money, but you got to be part of this system to get it. This is how we're going to develop our economy and Right now is your turn. You can apply for this, but you got to have this card or a checking account. But you can get this money. Now, why are they going through all this trouble? It's not because they want to get everybody in the banking system, which they do. Because it's another way of, if we can't get the 3-0 notes in, if we can't get them to bring in the old currency and exchange it for the lower denoms, so we can switch this over, because that's what has to happen, then let's get everybody on the electronic system, because then we can flip the switch in the RV and not even have to worry about the lower denoms being out there, because everybody has a card. Because then they can go to the ATMs if they want to without having lines out the banks and everywhere else and get to the lower denoms if they prefer to have cash in their pockets. So actually, if we look at it, it's an easier, smarter way to do it in Iraq, because traditionally they got lines and lines coming out of banks today. They only had so many banks, and now they're opening more and more. But with the electronic system, in the end, they're going to be able to flip this at one time and change everybody's rates. And they're putting as many cards out there as they can. They're giving people incentive to get the banking accounts, because the rate will change right there in the banking accounts and everything else. So that's a good thing. That's an easier, faster, more modern way to do it, if they can get that out there to as many as they can, which they've been trying to do for the last 5 days in their final. Nothing but good news on it. We saw nothing bad. They loved it. They loved that it was Visa, that it was MasterCard, that it was all of the government banks, all of the private banks, everybody working together to get as many people signed up, as many loan applications, car applications, everything else as they could. So where is all of a sudden Iraq getting all this money from? Because you got to have money to loan out to do it. Well, the banks are getting the money because now people are putting money in the bank whether they want to or not, because that's the only way they get paid. And nobody on payday is going to the bank or the ATM machine, putting their card in and pulling all their money out. That just is not happening. So now the banks can do what? Well, they've changed their entire system to operate just like our banks do, fractional banking. Now they're able to create money for loans and everything else, just like our system is. But more importantly, they base their budget on $45. Oil is up over $75. Now the country has more money to do more things with, which is generating more money. Because you say, where are all these loans going to come from if Iraq's been so poor for the last 14 years? Now they just got money to loan out to anybody and everybody. And it's being generated through their oil and through fractional banking. But it makes them look good. So now we got to look at, okay, they had this big push. Are they going to do this now? Because when we said, when the CBI said we're ready, we're done, but we have to wait for two things to happen, for it to be stability and security. So I'm saying Iraq is as stable as they can get, or probably will get, before the election. They're as secure as they can get. Right now, if you go out there and look, the articles, people, this and they are as secure as they were in 2009 or 2014. As secure as they were then, they're secure. Not that they don't have issues, but, Chicago has issues, and probably more than Iraq does right now. In Chicago alone, not counting the rest of the United States. Well, suppose CBI meant as soon as we had enough security in our banking system and for our people to be able to handle this kind of money, And that security was being built through the electronic system, having enough people on the electronic system that they didn't have to worry about all the fraud, the fraudulent bills, or all the other people taking advantage of the people in the countryside or the uneducated people, because now the money was on their cards where it could truly be controlled by the government and the banking system. They can control the fraud because all the security features they have on their new cards as well as their new currency. So suppose that was the security he was talking about. Or even that, suppose the stability he was talking about was, again, in the banking system. We got enough people in it. They're educated about it. They know that it's here, and now they believe in it because they're all using it. So I have to look at it when they make this big push these last 5 days this week, and that's what they're doing. So now they can look at it. Your money's secure because it's in the bank. It's on the card. And you can always go right online and look and see what your balance is, what your transactions are. They're showing them all this good stuff to get them to believe in it. And then I have to look and say, okay, CBI is doing their part. But Biden's saying he's going to wait till after the election to complete the reforms still doesn't make sense to me. When you got all this momentum going into it, it just doesn't make sense that you would wait and give somebody else this kind of power or give them this kind of gift if you're not going to get elected. So I have to look at two things. A body saying, I can't give them the money right now, but I can give them money. So, you know, you're not supposed to buy votes. That's supposed to be illegal even over there, people buying votes. They say they're going to track them down, they're going to arrest them, they're going to put them in prison when they find out that they're buying votes over there. And we already know in one province, people are getting paid $5 already to get their vote. But what Obadi has done is this, in the monetary reform and taxes, they were taking out 65% out of people's paychecks. 65%. Now, just imagine your paycheck. If our government had been taxing you 65% of your paycheck. But what Obadi has done here in this month has dropped that 65% down to 30%. So he has, in fact, given them a 35% pay raise. 35%. Increase in their check. So now think about that for a minute. Your check that you're getting today was taking 65% out, but now it's only taking 30. They gave you 35%. Look at what 35% of your check would mean. What would 35% increase in your check mean to your living standard, your living conditions, or what you're thinking about? So I have to look at that and say, guess what? Obadi is paying them for his vote. That's exactly what he's doing. He's changing their mindset and their culture right here, this close to the vote, by giving them that 35%. And they get paid this week, too. Credit Suisse paying their people this week. Other people get paid next week, right before the vote. They're going to get paid. So I said, okay. He's showing their money is increasing, their life is changing, they're getting more, they're getting these credit cards, they're getting loans, they're getting business loans, they're getting school loans, they're getting automobile loans. I mean, things they haven't seen in years. He's changing it right here, and he's actually buying their vote. Is exactly what he's doing. And that's okay. Because we want him to stay in charge. Everybody else can't buy his vote, but he can buy their vote in this manner and take a chance. But still, do you take that chance? Is it still a free election going on? Or is there something being done behind the scenes that we don't know about. Well, maybe we do know about, but anyway, or we don't know about, to ensure that one person is elected over the other. To ensure after that 2 hours, things go on. Because we've seen a whole lot of money paid out this week. A whole lot of money promised by a whole lot of people who don't do that unless they're sure of what's about to happen. Or highly probable. Because nobody can be sure until after it happens. So ask Hillary about that one. Okay? So, because everybody just knew it was going right and it went left. But those things happen. Could be right here. Everybody knows it's supposed to go right, but there's always a chance it could go left. So do you really take that chance? And in this situation, I wouldn't if I was him, but he may not either. He may be just waiting till the last minute for that icing on the cake to make sure he gets over. Or he may take the chance, which just doesn't make sense. So what we do know is they said that Parliament will remain Parliament after the vote up until July the 1st. So regardless of that, we don't have to wait. As far as them making any laws, rules, or changes, they get to stay up to July the 1st. Because that was part of what we were worried about, how long is it going to take them to make the government after that? Now, as far as putting everybody in their final positions and all that stuff, it could take up to 7 months. And it could. I just don't see everybody making this big push, all this money, getting people in, everything else, and then not doing it. Doesn't make sense. No sense at all. So we'll either see a rate change right before, and it's not going to be what some people think. I was just going to call them idiots, but I mean, I guess I shouldn't, even though they are. But I guess I just did, so it really doesn't make any difference. What people have been saying for years that this is going to be at the program rate, or it's going to be one-to-one with the U.S. dollar worldwide, or we're going to have to wait and watch the economy build up to, you know, the old 322 or the new 371 or 386 rate, which could take another 4 or 5 years if they're going to let it inch up. That's not how this process was built, not how it's going to happen. It's going to happen more just like Kuwait did. One day this is going to be 1196, and next day it's going to be $3.86. And it's going to be just like that. Nobody's going to invest all the money that people are investing in Iraq to watch the rate climb up from 1-2 cents up to $3-4. I mean, who does that make sense to? Nobody. That makes sense to absolutely no one who knows anything about finance, about what this whole thing was put together for, the purpose of it, or why all these countries came together to help rebuild Iraq. It wasn't to watch it grow over the next 10 years into a rate that they want it to be. No, that's not going to happen, guys. So we're here waiting to see the conclusion of the banking week. We know they had a good week. We know they had huge sign-ups. We know they gave out loans. They had a bunch of applications to go. We know people are excited about the MasterCard and the Visa card. And now that they've educated all the government employees and all the working people, they're educating the non-working people, and they're educating their future, which is the college students, getting them involved in the process because it'll go so much faster with them, and they're more modern and technology and things that they're looking for. And they don't have the same experience that their parents and grandparents here had with Saddam and the banking system. This is something new to them, something they can believe in, and that way they can push it through. So I saw the big picture. I see what they're doing, and we see why they're doing it and how it helps. So the question is, when the CBI said security Is it security of Iraq, which they have, or the security of the banking system and the way that this exchange is going to go for the people? When he says stability, is it stability in the government of Iraq or the stability of the banking system, which they have watched and monitored and put out in news the last week saying not one error so far since they activated the new system? That means it's working, and it's working the way they wanted it to work. So those are the things we have to look at on a global scale. All right, Ray, I'm ready. You ready? Because that's where we're at today.
Okay.
Oh, Ray,
I took a second
left
for my mic to kick back in. No, the microphone was stuck for some reason. Okay, let's see. Questions. Vix Law says, is there an update on the codes with timing info on release of the RV provided to the bankers some weeks ago?
Man, I forgot about that. Hold on, I'm going to call right now. Let me check. I do mean that, too. Hold on, because I'm going to call and check. Because I forgot when I said I was going to do it while I was up.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Hold on for a minute.
All right. I'll go ahead and take the next question because this is an easy one. What is this? ONYXX55. Can I gift $1 million to each of my siblings? Technically, yes, you can. But the question should be, should I do that? Or what would be a better way to do that? Or better still, just come right out and just say, what is the utopian way of giving? Because you can give your siblings $1 million. They still have the headaches of ownership attached to that. In the event that the exchange is tax-free, if that happens, so at 47 cents, that's $470,000 each of your siblings would receive tax-free. And that's about the extent of it.
You guys there? Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me finish up this.
You're checking right now.
This.
Cause I forgot. Oh, go
okay.
ahead. Sorry.
All right. Let me finish this. The next question was about giving dong to siblings. So I'll finish that up. That was A, you gave your siblings the dong, they exchanged it, got $470,000. Ownership, headaches attached to that. You're trying to avoid gift tax, or you want to try to give them the dong before it revalues. That's all A. B, the dong revalues, and you establish, create a trust for your siblings to run, each of them. And place $470,000 in the trust from the exchange, and then teach them how to manage that trust for the future benefit of their families, at the same time drawing a salary and benefits so that they can pull down and spend the monies each year on personal needs by way of a salary. A clearly is better than B. Option C would be to create a foundation for your siblings in the name of their family, you know, if they're married, a charitable organization being created. They will learn the same ways to pull personal monies via salaries, benefits, and et cetera. Other money that would be spent would be for the purposes of running the foundation, administrative expenses, charitable giving expenses, et cetera, et cetera, which clearly made C a better deal than B because now we are plugging in a pay-it-forward process that can't be overlooked or not adhered to. So look at the extra we got out of that option C. We not only put them in an organizational structure, but a charitable one, which forces them to be charitable in nature, knowing that they were going to be charitable anyway, but now you've made sure of it because of the structure, organizational structure that they are now running and managing. That's just its purpose, is to be charitable. and they can still have the personal money coming to them by way of salary and employee benefits that can provide for them for their lifestyle. You know, the extra icing on the cake, because that was a charity, option C, you either donated the currency or you exchanged the currency and donated the cash. So either way, you got a tax write-off behind it as well. So there's your ABCs of giving, with C clearly being the utopian way. Okay, do you have an answer for us, Tony, on the codes?
No, we're checking right now. So we're just waiting to see if we get a call back before we're done. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do something else.
Next.
Let's switch gears one more time before you get started.
Okay.
So I can get this part out there with that. What are you doing on Friday? Are we doing a call?
Probably. We have a meet and greet planned for Friday.
Where's the meet and greet at?
I don't know, somewhere in Sacramento.
Oh, you're going to be in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know Ray wanted me to tell you guys or not. He's going to be here, so I had to kind of go around the mulberry bush to get there. So. All right. So.
Well, we can either pick a restaurant, a hotel, meeting room, or go in your backyard.
So let me just put this out there. So the call's going to be late on Friday if we have to do a call, because Ray's going to be flying here to Sacramento. I got to go pick him up. We got to go do all that stuff. So that's why it may be late. But I didn't know if he wanted to invite any of you guys to dinner or not. So that's what I was trying to get him to do here on the call real quick.
Well, I guess I don't have much choice now, do I?
Yeah, you can say we're not. I didn't know.
But sure, we were going to invite.
Yeah,
some of the locals already know, and then some of the others we were going to make sure they were aware that we're planning a big meet and greet dinner gathering Friday evening in Sacramento. Depends on how many people respond. That'll let us know where we have to host it. Whether, you know, Tony's place or the hotel place or the restaurant place.
But we need to get that response early enough that we can get a reservation. Just be on there. Have you work it out? I just want to
get
it out there. All right.
Yeah, we'll have it nailed down by Wednesday as far as the responses. The location will be determined this evening.
Okay. All right. What's next? I just want to get that off of you.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to forget it, though. But anyway, 50 and Counting says, could you please explain the purpose of the currency auctions in Iraq and why some in power don't want them to end?
Why would they sell money to banks? Why would they sell dollars and dinars to banks? The same reason that our treasury sells it to our banks. I know you guys didn't think that was free, right? Because they're making money off of them. It's a different rate. And those people who buy the money at the auctions sell it to the citizens to put dollars in the streets every day. They go up to the exchangers. There's a new exchange rate, and they're exchanging for the dollars. But here's the bad part. So this is what happens. Banks go get they go to the auctions and buy $1 million worth of U.S. dollars, right? $1 million worth. Well, they don't have to pay $1 million until tomorrow or 48 hours. They pay them, you know, like in the old days, you used to write a check and it says $48 from now, we're going to cash this check. So they go and they buy $1 million worth of dollars at the auction. Well, they take that $1 million they bought for that day, they put it out at their exchange location, and they sell it, and they make $100,000 profit. I'm just giving you bare minimum numbers, okay? $100,000 profit. And then what happens is they'll take that $1 million that they made to cover that $1 million check that they bought. They're supposed to have the $1 million in the bank already. They don't. So they're actually running a scam on the auctions saying that they do and then using that $1 million. Now, they make more than $100,000, believe me, a day, way more. So now it's only supposed to be banks that do this. They've already identified 25 of the banks. 25 of the banks that aren't even really banks that are using the auctions in a fraudulent manner and making millions and millions of dollars. Now, the problem with them, and they're not banks, is they are members of Parliament. It's the banks, false, fake banks that they have set up. Is exactly what it is, and they know who it is that's ripping the auctions off millions and millions of dollars a day. So how do they do this? That's not the whole process. All they have to do is submit a letter or an affidavit saying, yes, I have $1 million, and these two people over here can confirm that I have it. Now, the two people over there could be Aunt Mary and Uncle Joe. It could be Francis and Sheila. It could be two guys down the street. Because it's never verified, you just have to have two people who say you have $1 million in order to do this. You can go do it, and then it goes on and on and on. Now, if you guys have been following this for years, you would know this already for one thing. And you would know, they even know those two guys are fake. And this has come out, been out for months. I mean, it's been out for years, but even months they brought it up right now because they're going to change it, and supposedly they're going to get those people one day after they made hundreds of millions of dollars and continue. So then they changed the rule, like last month or so, saying that you actually had to have the money and be able to prove you had the money before you could attend the auction. And the rule lasted for a week. And they came out with a new system so they continue stealing the money from the auction. Now, they know it, and they say hundreds of millions or billions of dollars are being stolen from the auction, have been stolen. They know how to stop it. The day they RV the money, the auctions are gone, and all that money goes back to the government. But they have yet to do it. Okay. And I try not to get all technical right with you guys, but give you an example in a way that you can understand exactly what's going on. Okay, good.
All right. Somewhere in Texas says, I understand that we'll want to keep money in the exchange bank. We will go with Wells Fargo for leverage, and that the personal bankers are working to make money for the bank first and foremost. What about Abbott Downing? I know they are tied to Wells Fargo, so is their first objective to make money for the banks or for their customers?
Abbott Downing is Wells Fargo. They created that division for the ultra rich, and it's always their first objective. Their first objective, if they got any sense at all, which I'm sure they do, is to make money for themselves so they can feed their family, and they make that money off of you, whether you realize it or not. It's not like the bank just pays them. They get commissions off sales, things they talk you into doing, or directions they move you to. They're getting paid off of that, not just the bank. They get their bonuses and everything off of that. So, yes, they work for that because they work for the bank. Okay?
Okay. Steadfast. Any updates on the ATMs that were supposed to be activated a week ago? I thought they were celebrating that day.
They were supposed to on that Sunday, and they didn't. And they didn't yesterday, that we know, but that was a projection. That's what was scheduled, and it hasn't happened yet. So And actually, I got the answer. He said that there are, let me just tell you how this is. No code showing right now. Does not expect any activity until next month, which starts tomorrow, and actually next week. But the, I forgot what you call those codes again. He said they're not showing right now, none of them. So, and that may be why it didn't happen today. All right, eh?
Okay. R. Durgan says, now that Visa International has signed a MOU agreement, what is the effective date of the MOU with Iraq?
That's the same question 404 asked on the last call. But I haven't seen the MOU, so I don't know. But they're telling them over there during their training that they are international and they can use them. So I suppose they can use them today. But I didn't see anything with an effective date. I haven't seen an article with it. And, all right, that's something we should ask our bankers over there, our banker over there. Oh, let me tell you guys this all real right. quick. Did I say what the banker over there said? Did I say it on the last call or this call?
Okay. I can't remember. Just say it. It's okay to be repetitious.
So, yeah. So our bank guy in Iraq actually thinks that this will not happen until after the election. That's what he thinks. He said everything is done. They have everything. They have the lower denoms on hand. But he doesn't think it's going to happen until after the election. And that was from the Iraqi banker. I don't like hearing it. Didn't like hearing it. And I'm saying, well, they wouldn't tell him if they were going to do it beforehand either. So I don't know. But that is what he seems to think. And I guess more and more Iraq people seem to think that it's actually not going to happen until after May the 12th. So they're believing that, even though they know they lie to each other's face. It could happen before then, but that's where they're at right now today. So, and that's what I do. You know, I get all the information. I try and come to a conclusion, but I still give you guys all the information so you can come to your own conclusions also. All right, good.
All right, let's see. Kamban Chick says, any credit union in Arkansas that will exchange? We don't know. You can call and check ahead of time, and then you would know that.
I didn't know they had credit unions in Arkansas. But anyway, go ahead. No.
All right. Cherry Blossom says, what is the agreement with us for the contract rate? Will we find out through both of you before we get the 800 number? Also, to what extreme does the Homeland Security for the to what extreme does the Homeland Security for the 10 years? I don't know what they're trying to say there. Okay, contract rates will be found out through the both of us before they call the 800 number. If we get it before you, we give you the 800 number. What say
well,
you,
Tom? If it's changed, yeah, we've already told you that they said the contract rate is going to be $28.50, which that was the highest group rate. I will tell you guys that, $28.50. The contract rate that I knew of was supposed to be $22 for anybody else. But now they're saying the contract rate is going to be $28.50 for everybody. Here's the advantage to that, which I got to give you too, which I love. The groups were getting $28.50 because they had a purchase agreement with China. So they still had to pay 11% tax on their money. We're going out and we get $28.50. It's part of the exchange, and we pay no tax. So it's actually $28.50. You got a better deal. And that's why I thought we were getting 22 and they were getting 28 because they had to pay the 11% tax. But now if they're going to give us that same rate, man, we came out like fat cats. Okay.
Okay.
What else was the other question? Homeland? Is Homeland Security involved
that.
In the 10-year NDA? I'm thinking it got to be. I don't know who's involved in it, so we're going to have to look at it when we get it. All right.
Okay. Doctor, I don't know what this is. DRG800. I was thinking it might have been Dr. Great 400 or something. Dr. G. Okay, I see it down below. Dr. G. I don't know what the 8400 represents. Question says, are we still to use the acronyms like IQN or VNN when doing the exchange, or do we just say the regular acronym on the UN Treasury website?
I would go in and say
Treasury website is.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But I would go in and simply ask, what is the rate for each? And if they tell you it's the same rate, say, I'm here to do my currency exchange. If they give you a different rate, then take whichever one you want. They're supposed to be in. All the new ones are supposed to be in. But I'm just trying to give you guys a way to work it both ways, better safe than sorry. And there's no problem with asking what's the rate for both. Okay.
All right. Trying to see if this question. Country Girl 2002 says gifting options and question, and for again emphasizing that merely gifting funds is not the most beneficial to the giftee, could you define your definition of utopian as it applies to gifting? Okay, I addressed that earlier on the ABCs, and I don't know if Country Girls, I'm trying to see if this question was posted prior to that. I think it was. So that was asked and answered, because I did address that. Okay, Tinky says, I'm confused.
Oh.
Go ahead. You had a question?
No. I was just saying, wasn't Country Girl, didn't she used to be a mod or something? I remember.
No, this is Country Girl 2002. Right, so this is I'm thinking it's probably a different person, but yeah, that was one on the other call we were doing.
Right, okay.
That name. But okay. Tinky says, I'm confused. Are we looking at this week or next? I heard Tony say both.
Yeah, we're looking at this week and next. That's right. How'd you hear me say that and put the question? She just put that question in?
Oh, it just came in. I was refreshing, and it was there.
All right. So most people seem to think right now, because I just got that from the bank, they don't have anything for this week. Guys in Iraq don't think it's going to happen this week. Some of them don't because of the holidays and Friday. Treasury said it could happen anytime, but they expect it by the first part of next week. Because I'm not giving you guys the exact date. That it should happen is what our Treasury is putting out. Over in Iraq, again, our banker was giving us a bunch of the information. Actually, we have three bankers in Iraq who don't think it's going to happen until after the election because of what's going on. They're doing the banking and systems, trying to get all the people. Not that they aren't ready, because he said they are ready and they have everything they need. He just doesn't think they'll do it until after the election, which, again, doesn't make sense to me and you for them to take that kind of chance. Building up the momentum, releasing money, doing everything right up to the election, and somebody else gets elected just because they didn't do the final piece. Doesn't make sense, but maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe the election's rigged. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. Well, that's it for the board questions. Let's talk to some live callers and see what's on their mind. First one up is 470-865-404. 9:09.
Whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Appreciate your taking my call.
I thought you were giving us a list of 1 through 5 so you know what order you're in, but they were all you. Okay.
Haven't you learned that yet, Tony?
Oh my God.
No.
Okay.
With the with the info that you have shared with us today, saying that there are an awful lot of indicators saying after the election, which we know is May 12th, have they given any indication to you at that stage in terms of the, I guess, sophistication of the Iraqi election, such that, you know, could we be saying and hopeful that we would know the results of the election within 24 hours, or are we having to say, okay, it's after the election, but realistically that's saying we'll be lucky if it's by the end of May? Have they given you anything along those lines so that we can just, you know, be girding ourselves, preparing ourselves?
Yes. Unlike any other election in their past history, they are saying we will have the answers 2 hours after the election is over. That's what they're telling the Iraqi people. We will know 2 hours after the election is over who actually won. Because before, we had to wait until this party gave them their numbers and they gave them their numbers and some other kind of, that's how they used to do it, and form all their partnerships and everything else. But now they're saying we will know 2 hours after it's done. Now, that's who got voted in. What I like, what they've also said, is they're going to use this parliament that they have up until the 1st of July, and immediately after the election, pass any other laws that were left, even though we know 3 days later Ramadan starts, and then there's this, and then all the way up to July. But that's what they're saying, if we want to believe everything they're saying. Okay?
Okay. It's been a while. You know, it's, with everything that's going on, I seem to visualize a magician trick where all of our focus right now for the last week or so has definitely been on Iraq. What are they doing? The impact that this and what they are doing is having on the other currencies, like the Indonesia, Vietnamese, Zimbabwe, and that sort of thing. What are you hearing there, and how are those sources responding to what Iraq is or is not doing?
I don't hear any sources complaining. What we do know is, as the value of the dinar changes, and both with the price of oil going up, everything else affects everybody else's rate. So it does, in fact, cause them to change. So that part we do like, because it becomes greater. But there's nobody complaining, you know, our country's tired, we're ready, we're going to do it without you, any of that, because they know none of that can happen. If they were going to do that, or could do that, they would have did it a long time ago once they, you know, skip Iraq, without using the word skip. But anyway, so we know that can never happen. I'm not even worried about it, all right?
Okay. Well, again, gentlemen, appreciate the nuggets. We'll try to fit these pieces into the puzzle and see where it comes out. And I will start adding 10 days after whenever in May, it looks like. So with that, with the TNT Super Fantastic or Pay It Forward project and all the shun words and that sort of thing. But thank you ever so much. And Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. And it sounds like Sacramento, 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 earlier than Vegas. So appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. All right.
You too. Thanks.
New York, 347 area code. You're on.
Hey, what's going on, Ray? How you doing today?
All right. I'm fantabulous-er to the nth degree. And yourself?
I can't complain. Tony, what's going on out there in Sacramento, man? How you doing?
All right, man. Super fantastic.
One word today. You were talking to... Hey, I can't complain. I wanted to know, you were talking about those Q codes. Are those Q codes inside information, or if someone walked into the bank to speak to somebody, would they be privy to have a discussion about the Q codes?
No, that's inside. Well, It's not inside information like trading or anything like that. It's information that you have to know at the executive level.
Okay, so since you just said something about him, if we walked in and we asked someone we knew about him, do you think
not
they
happen.
Talk to us about him? Not going to happen?
Nope. Not going to happen.
Okay.
You're not going to get that kind of information at a bank level anyway. I'm just telling you.
Okay, so you're sharing stuff you're not supposed to be sharing right now, because I want to know more about them. So when I walk in there, I open up my mouth and I start talking stuff. They know that I know what I'm talking about because I'm speaking some of their language.
I've been sharing stuff for 10 years that I ain't supposed to be sharing. So that ain't nothing new.
Yeah, I know. I've been writing it down, too.
Okay. You know what? I told Ray this morning, and I don't care. You got to know, everybody knows. I got every call that was ever recorded on TNT.
Okay.
I got every message. I got every text that I ever got from every person that I've gotten for the last 10 years. So, yeah, I got all that, too. I can go back to it, tell you exactly what we said when we said it, because it was supposed to go in the museum, and it still might go in the museum. I mean, I don't have it here personally, believe me, but I secured it. So I'm not ever worried about people seeing Tony say it, because I can tell you what Tony said and when he said it, and you can go to them. But you're never going to be able to go in, unless if you have a bank executive at that level that you know, he can tell you this is what that means. Just like I told you guys today, when they go put their U number in and this is what comes up, if you go into the bank, some of them are going to say, well, what U number? And some are probably going to say, how you even know we have that? But go try it.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That's cool. So with that, I'm going to say Vegas, 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 all the shun words. And thanks for all y'all do.
All right. Thank
all right,
you, sir.
Thank
have
you.
A great day.
You too.
All right. Pennsylvania, 610, G-Man. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Ray, and good morning, Tony. How are you guys today?
Good morning.
Fantabulous, sir. To the nth degree.
All right.
And yourself?
I'm doing super fantastic. It's another dynamite day in the USA.
All right.
Well, Ray, here
yes,
we
sir.
Are, April 30th. And we're still going to need donations, aren't we?
That's for sure.
All right.
It didn't happen when we thought it was going to happen. So.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, hold on for a minute before you do that. Hold on for a second, man.
Okay.
First of all, I don't know when you and Ray started doing this, but I appreciate it. I'm sure Ray appreciates it. But let me tell you guys something that's going on for years. Just Ray didn't send my text either. So...
Nope.
I tell people all the time, we've been doing this, and I've had, because it's 83,000 people listen to this call. Even when I stopped doing the call, even then I had between 30, 40,000 people listening to this call, every call. I mean, live call. And then we've had 1 million people we listen to the recorded call. Even today. Since I started doing this again with Ray in January, the numbers on the call have doubled and continue to grow. Let me tell you guys what has it, because I know there's a lot of people out there worried about it, a lot of complaining, everything else. We try to pay for this. We got 10,000 people on this call. We have 100 people who donate to this call. Everybody else is getting this call absolutely free. In case you guys don't know it. And here's the thing is, it's been consistently like that, the same 100 or 200 people, it's not even 200, so 100 or 150 people there who donate all the time to carry this call through for everybody else. Even back then, I'll tell you, we had less than 1,000 people or 500 people donate. So I don't want everybody to think everybody else is, because they're not. But as long as it takes care of what it needs to take care of, we don't have an issue with it, and we haven't. But that's all. And let me tell you right now, he's having an issue with it. So, all right, go ahead. So I'm just going to put that out there.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard Tony, and it's up to all of us out here in the currency community to make donations in order to keep this information superstation on the air. You can do your part by going to www.tntsuperfantastic.com, clicking on that red donate button, and when you do, the name and address will come up to where you can send your check or money order made payable to Raymond Renfro, P.O. Box 1748, Elm City, North Carolina, 27822. Again, please make your check or money order made payable to Raymond Renfro, P.O. Box 1748, Elm City. That's just like the tree. Elm City, North Carolina, 27822. Remember to do it today, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be very glad that you did. And again, Tony and Ray, thank you again for all that you gentlemen continue to faithfully do for us. Thank you to both of your families for sharing you with us. Thank you to those 13 task force members still out there making sure that the bankers and meeting facilities will be ready for us post-RV so we can get all that banking information. And I'll close out with Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. Verification, negotiation, diversification, unification. Protect your principal. And rally, 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 so I can come join you and enjoy some of that good home-style North Carolina barbecue. Thank you, gentlemen. Make it a dynamite day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, Tony. I think he has a uniform on today. Texas, 281.
With a bus driver.
You know what? I got just so I could talk to you. Well, first of all, hi Ray, how you doing?
Hi there. I'm fantabulous to the nth degree.
Good. And how you doing, Tony? You a mess.
Oh, super fantastic. Ray started that. What you talking about?
I heard you Wednesday, and I couldn't get to the phone. I couldn't get put my head up talking about the real short, short yellow bus. I'm like, no, he did not say that. I'm like, what the hell? You too much. You are too much. We ready here in Texas, I tell you that. We are ready. But I have a question. So if they wait until after the election, and then just say whatever happens, and did I hear you say that it could possibly go out? They could move it out a little later, or am I misunderstanding what you said? If it goes after,
the election, mm-hmm. They could do it any time they choose to. Now, people seem to think they won't do it during Ramadan. So this is what I look at. So everybody clearly understands this. CBI says they have completed what they need to complete.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a bunch of people would tell you that Article 140 still needs to be done, that there's still some finance laws that need to be done, and none of that can take place until June when Parliament comes back. So they have some more laws that they have to pass in order for this to happen, or they need to make an agreement on 140. I didn't hear CBI say that. I heard them say they've completed everything they need to do, and they're waiting for security and stability, whichever those two mean, security and stability. Nothing about laws being passed, agreements being made, or anything else. So let's see. So if elections are the 12th, they got the results at night, could they do it on the 13th? A body said he's going to do it after the elections. If he's going to say, hey, go ahead and do it. He could say, let me do it on the 15th. Because operational rates, it's the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan is about giving and everything else. People give gifts. They need more money to do that with, even though he's been giving them more money this month. So they could have it He could do it right during Ramadan, if that's what they choose to do. So I don't see why you have to wait till after Ramadan, wait for Parliament vote, and go all the way into July. I just don't see that, because everybody's waiting. All the people are waiting to still give them money. A bunch of them aren't going to do it until they revalue their currency. I don't see any reason to wait 60 days in order to do that. So I'm still of the belief that he can do it right before the election to carry him over myself. So that's just what I think. Go ahead.
This whole thing is so puzzling. It really is confusing. And the fact that, I mean, we see what the U.S. banks here are doing. You know, they're getting prepared. People are being trained. And, you know, we're now getting some of the people to admit in the banks that they are getting prepared for this. So I was just wondering how much does the U.S. have in what Iraq is doing right now? You know, is it something that they're being, you know, I mean, I know they don't have total control, but I feel like they have some control, and how much of that is being, I don't know, I wouldn't say maneuvered by them get whatever done they need done, you know?
So there's a lot of people out there telling you that Trump now has a plan. They're going by the Trump plan, and they're going to do this for us and that, and you know, we've heard, you know, Trump has demanded that they do it within 48 hours, 72 hours. Trump has demanded that, you know, these things happen. Then, and Trump's now scheduled to make an announcement on the 12th of May during their election. It's supposed to, and I know it's going to be confused because I'm going on telling you guys, but I got to do it while I'm thinking about it. Supposed to tell us that we're gold back and everything else, and then that's supposed to be the trigger to make it go. So I got to take this out. If you look at, I got to go to us being gold back real quick, then I'm gonna go back. The gold back, there's a 5402, I think, there's a law that's coming out. It came out March the 22nd. That has to be approved, has to be given an effective date. And then 30 months after that effective date is when we become gold back. That's 2.5 years after the effective date, which we don't even have an effective date yet. So how people assume that we're waiting for an announcement for us to be gold back is beyond me. And I've been saying that for years, if not for months. And when Mnuchin just came out in November and said we're just Basel III compliant. So these idiots that keep saying Trump's going to make an announcement about us being gold back tells you they don't really have a clue about what this whole thing is about. So now let's get away from that part, because I'm trying to get us being under control. So that has nothing to do with it. If we were in control of it, why do we keep setting dates and not meeting them for our own banking system? I would think if we were in control of it, We wouldn't keep telling the bank, get ready for this day, go do this, go do that, go bring all those people out at the cost of the money. Because when they did that years ago, they made an agreement. If the government directed them to do that and it didn't happen, then the government's paying all those people. Overtime, everything else, training and all that. So they stopped doing that. Now, if we were in charge of it, I don't know what the Treasury, even the source of my own, would keep come out and say, look for this time. Look for this time. This is what we're being told. If we were in charge, they would know for sure. It's happening, it's not happening, it's not ready yet, and I'm going to tell you what the date is. But all that keeps coming out, which tells me we're really not in charge. Now, we're in charge of a lot of things. We have a lot of influence over things we'd like to see done. I mean, we did put a body there. I mean, we dealt with the CBI director. We did put Lagarde in place. We did put the World Bank person in place. But we don't get to make every decision, but we do get to influence some. Obviously not the date, because it would have been done already. Because they've stabilized, they've done everything. And just for the mere fact that Obama put all these requirements out there for Iraq to get this done, believe me, Trump would have just walked in and did it. I don't care. I'm going to make, you know, nothing he said matters. Here it is. Trump has already declared for everybody that he is not a nation builder. He said, those days are over. We're not nation builders. We're not going to help you. We're not going to direct you anything. So he's not waiting for any of this. It would have already been done if it was our decision.
Okay. Well, I sure hope this thing gets done before, you know, like you say, the summer gets here, because I just think that everything, is, like you say, on our side is done. I mean, pretty much anyway. I know if you go into some of the banks here, they are saying that some people are still being trained, some people have been trained, you know, so forth and so on. So hopefully, you know, they're wrapping all of that up and everything can go whenever, you know, Iraq or whomever over on that side is ready. They'll be finished over here. Because I was also wondering if everybody has to be trained before this can go. You know what I'm saying? Especially here in the U.S. So hopefully that's not
everybody good. Can't be trained because they keep changing the plan. I can
right.
tell you this again from Hayef Zed. He said no, as I don't understand it, he said no branch locations were going to be used for exchanges. When I know that was the plan is to use some branch locations. I mean, but last week he said it's not going to happen. We're not using any branches anymore. But we'll see what comes out. But it just, you know, keeps taking time, changing. And I understand they don't want to because they don't want their personnel to know that this came out to be real. And people are mad and upset and walking off the jobs, and they're trying to figure out how to just do it in exchange locations or do it with the upper echelon like Abbott Downey or the larger locations. So they're, you know, tellers and everybody who they've been telling this was a scam all this time actually don't get mad because they could have been millionaires. So.
But that's one good thing. If anybody ever doubted it, they should be on a positive note now, because most of some banks that you go into now, they are admitting it, you know, some of the people. So that's a good thing.
Yep.
So we just have to hold on and be positive. It'll get here one day. I just hope it's not too much longer, but we have to hang in there. So, well, thank you guys for all you do, and I will be listening. Thanks for the information. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Illinois, 312, you are on.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ray Wren. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon. I am fantabulous-er to the nth degree. And yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you. And good morning, Mr. Tony. How are you?
Good morning. I am super fantastic, young lady. How you doing?
Well, good.
So what's happening
I'm
in your world
good.
Today, then? Okay.
I'm just a little tired, but I'm doing good. Been doing too much, as the young folks say. As the youngins say. But
that's right.
I have to apologize because I was distracted getting phone calls, trying to take care of some stuff. And I didn't really hear what you said. I didn't hear clearly, and I know I can go back and listen to the recording, Mr. Ray Wren, so that's what you would have me to do instead of ask a question. That's fine, too. But I did hear you say something about Chicago. What were you negatively saying about my city, Tony?
I was saying there's more death, violence, and corruption in Chicago than all of Iraq.
You know, you always saying something negative about my city. I know you don't like Texas because D.C. was from Texas and you started teasing Texas because of him.
Look,
so I understand what that
let me tell you,
from.
I have some friends live right here, right now, from Chicago, okay? And all they do is brag about how bad Chicago is. I'm saying, what? Like, why they call it Chirac. Isn't that what they call it, Chirac?
That's what y'all call it. We don't call it that.
Oh, okay. Well, I was using Chicago as an example to say how stable and secure Iraq is. There's more violence in Chicago right now than there is in Iraq. That's all. Love Chicago.
That's probably true, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the question I had was, well, one, I haven't heard you update any updates from the banks, the U.S. banks. Are they still under the same plan they have been, or have they finally been updated as to what your committee people had told you all, you know, about the Zim and the OneNote and going to any branch and all of that? Have they been updated to that?
They have not. We haven't heard that from any of our exchanges. They have not received that information to this day. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a last-minute instructions or anything else, but none of them have received the limits. As a matter of fact, they're still saying no limit. And that's what I'm telling you guys. Every week they don't do it, buy some more. Because, you know, I'm going to go with no limit until there is a limit. The bank. So, if I was you, that's how I would plan to go. No limits. They're taking everything. So,
wow.
Until somebody changes.
If they do what he said,
that's right. We got a plan. We got plan A, plan B. We know exactly what to do as soon as they give it to us.
Plan C.
Oh, and plan C. Okay.
Yeah. If there's a limit, then we go to plan C, straight to plan C if there's any limits.
Yes, and we've talked about
plan C being the utopian way of giving.
Right.
Right.
We've talked about that. Okay, and my last thing was the one I didn't really hear. You said the stability in the country of Iraq. You didn't know if they were speaking of the stability of the banks with the people not bringing the notes in and being forced to bring it in, or if you were talking about the stability of something else.
Well, I'm saying we got to know what Alat was talking about, because I've already said their country is secure and it's as stable as it's ever been since we got involved. So what stability is he talking about? What security is he talking about? ISIS is gone. Nobody is fighting nowhere. There's no wars. They're talking about people can freely travel all throughout the country without worrying. Then what security are you talking about? So now I got to look at, was he talking about the security of the banking system, which they just came out and said they've been using since the first year, and not one problem. No fraud, no hacking, no nothing, no problem. So they have no doubt it is now secure. Was he talking about the stables of the banking system? Is it stable? Do they understand how it works? Yes, they got all these trainings. Do they have enough people in the system to make it work? That's what this big push was about this week, getting all these people checking accounts freely, giving them all MasterCards and Visa cards freely, some of them loaded. They're putting loans out there freely, school loans, business loans, auto loans, to get things in the system and working that are generating money. Is that what he's talking about, stabilized? Because then it makes sense. Let's not just have it, but let's have it working. We know it's working, and then change it for the cash flow. So those are the two things I have to look at.
Okay. Wow. And I guess it's kind of hard surmising what someone else is thinking, trying to get in their head
with
their thinking. And
like you said, we want to listen to them, but we want to watch what they're doing.
Exactly.
So I hear him, even if I don't know what he's saying, I hear him, but I can see what he's building, what kind of banking system and economy that they're actually building by their actions, and I can see they're doing it in a condensed time. They're not stretching all this out. They're trying to do it right here, right now, and get it out there.
And that would lead to the question as if they're not really getting ready to make these changes right here, right now, and why are they doing all of that right here and right now?
That's right. Why this big push? I mean, if not, take your time and do it. You're going to do it 6 months from now. I mean, why do all this right now at this moment? Bring everybody in and that and say, look how great we are. Because every article is, look how great we are. We're the best. We're the most advanced. We got all the new technology. I mean, this is the place to be.
Wow. Well, let's hope this is the quiet before the storm. Let's hope this is the chaos that we've always heard and is going to happen right before this happened. Everything be so chaotic and not understanding things. Let's hope all of that is now, and they can just slip this on in here in the morning, tomorrow morning, Friday morning. I don't care what morning.
No, don't wait. Holiday, no holiday. That's just courtesy
right.
Of holiday on Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday. Let's go. So, yeah, I agree with you. Let's get it over with.
All right.
Thank you, man.
All right. Well, thank you, sirs. I do appreciate all that you do. And I will go back and listen, Mr. Ray Rand, to get a better clarification of what I missed a little while ago. So thank you both.
All right. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank
See you.
You
soon.
Bye-bye.
See you all both right, soon.
Okay. Texas, you're up, 972.
I'm going to take that hose off and turn the water on, and I'm going to make sure I kill it.
972, you're on.
You out in the garden or what?
Well, I was down in the manhole, actually, turning water off. What do you guys do?
Down in the manhole. Okay.
In the manhole, yeah.
All right, what's going on?
Well, I'm turning this water off now, and okay, I'm back focused on you. I sure appreciate you guys, and I want to say hi to my daughter Hillary, who ran off to Maryland. So, hello, Hillary. I know she's listening.
Okay.
A couple of things. Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. I've been listening to you forever, and you had indicated that recently that there was a good deal with the Vietnamese dong. Is that still your opinion as far as dollar for dollar?
I think it's a great deal, Jared. I mean, you know, if it's still at $39 per million, I mean, if this thing comes out at worst-case scenario, I think 47 cents, you're trading $39 for $500,000, that's a great deal to me.
Right. Okay, well, we don't get it for $39 per million here south of Dallas. I live in a little community called Ennis. It's like the game of tennis without the T. And in this little town, there are at least 200 people who have $1 million. Very few have gone with a dong, is my understanding. But those two car lots out by the freeway that have all those new cars are going to be empty when this thing finally goes. So,
I bet they are.
I just wanted to touch base on the Vietnamese dong. And once again, appreciate you guys. Like everybody else tells you, you've done a fantastic job with our education. So,
what price is it, dong?
Paid, I paid right at $70 per million.
Mm. Wow.
$70 per million?
$70. You know, you have educated us a lot of different ways, but when we get to the currency exchanges, we really have to go with what they have until we get a little more education. I'm going to try to find that $39 per million situation. But
call
TravelX.
Listen, call TravelX.
Yeah.
You can buy it online in any state
online.
And get their
okay.
rate. It's $39 per million. Yeah, it's
Excellent.
Only $79 because you're in Texas. And they know it's a bunch of yellow buses riding around there.
That's got to be it. So I will call around and find out what the price is online and then go from there.
Oh, me.
All right.
Okay, sir.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have a good day.
Bye. All right.
Take
have
care.
A great day.
Man.
Okay, Indiana. Let's see. Looks like Nikki. Nikki from Indiana.
Hi, how are you?
Hey there.
Hi.
Happy Lust Earth.
I'm great, man. Thank you so much. Hi, Ray. Hi, Tony. This is Nikki.
Hi.
I just called Wells Fargo a couple of days ago. I can't remember exactly what day. And they don't do, because I was wondering how, just what the rate was. I was just going to be curious and be like, hey, you know, what's the rate for a car? You know, some automated system came on and was like, we do not sell or do not sell.
Are you on a cell phone? Hello?
Nikki?
Yes, I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, you're cutting out. We're getting like every other word, every two words or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay,
we
hold
can't
on.
Can't hear you now.
Hold on.
Hold up your left hand.
Yeah, we can hear you right there. Yeah, stay right there.
Okay. So I went to called Wells Fargo to see if the rate for the what the rate was for the dinar. Just curiosity. And when I called, the automated system, asks you, are you calling for foreign exchange for dinar or them? Once you hit one, it tells you we do not exchange or give out either one of those types of money, and it hangs up on you. So I was calling when this RV hit. Are these banks going to be at that point doing it? Because I know right now I think, and I also called at foreign exchange currency bank, just store, just to see what the rate was. And he was like, well, it's if you were exchanging it, it'd be 57. I don't know. It was like 57. It was some kind of crazy number. But it was less than what I actually paid to originally get the dinar. So it was less. So I was like, okay, well, no. And he didn't know anything about an RV or whatever. And I said, well, and he was trying to say, well, I don't see an RV happening anytime. I said, well, you're not an executive. You're just a guy at a store. I didn't want to be rude. But he was like, you know, he was like, well, you know, just hold on to it for forever. I don't care. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever, you know. So, but anyway, I was calling to see Wells Fargo and our other big banks at that time, are they going to be starting to, or do they going to get, are they going to want a piece of the pie pretty much? Are they going to be saying, yes, we'll take the, you know, we'll go ahead and do it now?
Okay, so let me tell you this. This is what I know for a fact, okay? There are people who work for Wells Fargo who I know who operate an exchange center.
Okay.
There are people who work for Wells Fargo I know who operate a call center. There are people I know who work for Wells Fargo who train the centers.
Okay.
We have executives at Wells Fargo who tell us exactly what they plan on doing when this does happen. Does everybody in Wells Fargo know or have a clue? No, they don't. But people who are at the call centers, the exchange centers, or branch managers, which I have right here, who have been trained and just went to training last month on this, know exactly what they plan to do. So, yes, I know through all my experiences, they are the foundation bank. They don't want to get a million calls right now because they don't know when it's going to happen or not.
Okay.
But is it going to happen? Absolutely.
And it was also through the automated system is the one, not the actual young lady that I spoke with that transferred me to her foreign exchange. It was the automated system that says, We do not, and nor will we ever exchange or whatever the other word was, dinar or zen.
Yeah, then they said they don't buy and sell it either, but I got people with receipts who bought it from Wells Fargo, I mean, years ago, and they say they've never sold it, and they absolutely did. So we have receipts and accounts from when they actually did. So.
Okay. And I've been doing some research because I actually looked on the CBI.IQ website, which is the Central Bank of Iraq. You know what it is. But anyway, I went on there just to see what our, you know, exchange rate, because I know if that changes, then it's already kicked in and it's already started. And so is that a good idea to continue to do that? You know, if I don't hear from you guys, like, you know, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we just got tweets from you guys, like to look at the tweet or whatever. Is that a good idea to look at the CBI website to see if that rate has changed?
That's always a good idea to go look. It's always good to do your own research and know where to go. So I'm never going to say that's a bad idea. Whether you hear from us, you don't. If you hear from us, right. Go look and see what it says. So that's an excellent idea to monitor it yourself. Okay?
All right. Well, that's all I had. Thank you so much for taking my, I guess it's not a call. It's kind of sort of a call. But it was a pleasure seeing you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank
bye-bye.
You. All right. Yeah.
Okay, Texas again, 832 area code. 832, Texas, you are on. 832. This is a different one, but okay. It takes us to Florida, 904. You are on.
Hey, Tony, Rayburn, can you hear me?
Yes,
hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. Last week, someone had mentioned that the election is actually for the parliament and not for the prime minister. So why would a body want to wait until after the elections? That doesn't make any sense.
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry. Last week, what happened?
Someone had mentioned that the elections coming up is not for the actual prime minister, it's for the parliament. Is that so? Or because if it is, then why would a body be waiting for the after the elections to make this go through?
Well, more important question is, if it's not for the prime minister, why is he doing all this campaigning in all these different provinces in Iraq if it's not for the prime minister?
Okay, so the election then is for that,
Eddie,
and not for
the
parliament?
Front, please. Eddie,
and then the parliament decides who the prime minister is?
No, it's for both the parliament and the prime minister is what they're running for. So they're running for, and each one running for the three presidencies. So
okay.
As far
all,
as I know, and I'm pretty sure that's it, because, I mean, I'm following him from province to province, getting all his speeches, and he's definitely campaigning, without a doubt. Okay? And that's
so
why he said he would do it after then.
All right. So it's all at the same time, basically. It's not one coming after the other.
Keith, line 4, please. Keith,
yeah,
line
it's
four.
All at the same time. That's why they're all out there. That's why Parliament's not meeting. It's for mayors and governors. Everybody right now is running for office during this time.
Okay, well, that was my question. Thank you, and have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot. Let's see. Nevada, 702.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm so confused. Tony, can you tell me, when do you think this will actually happen?
I can tell you that I like for it to happen today. I can tell you it makes sense for it to happen before the election, unless he knows something we don't know where he's guaranteed to be elected. And it could possibly happen afterwards. I think he's building everything up for it to go probably next week, right before the election, be the final piece of the pie. Because he has promised this to the people for so long, they could take everything he's given them and still vote somebody else in there to finish it up. And if I was him or any kind of leader, I wouldn't take that kind of chance. I'd do it all, because if it is a new prime minister, parliament, everything else, we have to wait till they, you know, what we've already gone through with Bush and Obama and now Trump, and I want to put my own stamp of approval or make changes and do all this. It could be God knows when after that, to tell you the truth. So I'm just hoping and praying it's before the election, because that makes it easier, unless he is reelected, is the only thing. And I don't know that he really is going to be reelected. It would make sense, but I don't know it.
I agree with you 100%, Tony. Good luck to all of us, and you have a great week. You too, Ray.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Did we hit Florida already? 904?
Oh, okay.
Florida. You're on.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I already entered, spoke with you guys.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Ray just want to talk to you again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
All right. Hold on for a second, Ray. So I can say this real quick. Guys, last week or last time we talked, somebody was telling me they went to Travelex and they bought a million dong for $39. Now I'm getting texts and people are telling me that they just purchased dong at Travelex for $60. But at Chase Bank for $48. And this one says they purchased Don at Chase for $48 and Travelex for $58.58. Plus $20. I don't know what that's for. So the price has gone up from the $39, but it's still not $79 like Texas. Or maybe it was that 58 plus that 20. I don't know where they were at. So maybe there's some yellow buses somewhere else besides Texas. But all right, go ahead.
Okay. Tennessee, 423. You're on.
Hey, is this me?
Yes, it is.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Roddy Dottie. Listen, thanks for all the laughter. We need it. It's good medicine.
Yes.
We got to have some laughter no matter what.
That's right.
Yeah. Couple of questions. Why do the banks keep saying, oh, they don't feel like they got a big enough part, and they're worried about security and all that stuff? When are they going to stop saying that? That has been something that's come up many, many times over the years when it looked like it was getting ready to happen. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me because that's just the way it is. Some banks are going to get more and some banks are going to get less. So if there's lead banks and they're going first, they're going to get the most. And if not, then just let them all have it at one time. I don't understand. It seems to me like that's a lame excuse right there. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a lame excuse for it not to be done, but that don't mean it's not happening. And it's not being the excuse for it not going, because I think when it's actually time to go, they're going to go. Now, do banks still complain? Yeah, but each one of the banks had an opportunity to be the foundation bank, but they didn't want to be because they didn't want the toothless crackheads. I mean, everybody wanted to be because everything runs through them, but they didn't want the toothless crackheads, or they didn't want to go through what Wells Fargo has the last 5-6 years with everybody calling them, coming in, bothering their customers, want to know when you're going through this and everything else. They didn't want all that part. But then when it comes down to the end, I want access to people just like they do. I want my number to go first just like theirs so it'll be fair and everything else. And it's because that's how you negotiate. That's what happens in the real world. The closer it gets to the time, people will bring up something, you know. I always wanted this. I wanted it for 4 or 5 years, but I'm not going to bring it up to you until we're within 72 hours of it going live, so you have to make a decision right now and give me a bigger piece of the cake so we can keep going. And I'll tell you guys, for years, that's how governments negotiate. That's how millionaires, billionaires negotiate. Even everything, Ray, you get a lot of noise. Everything right up to the last minute to negotiate. Oh, maybe it's on her.
Yeah, that's her line. Yeah.
Okay.
Am I noisy over here?
Okay. Yes.
Yes, you are.
Sounds like.
Is it noisy now? Yeah. I had a lot of wind coming in, I think.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, I thought she was in a fight or something. But, okay.
You don't believe me, I'm driving. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm trying to be clear over here.
All right, so banks do that, but I don't think that's what stops it all the time because they're greedy, but it's what comes up. Even what I told you guys today, they had emails going back and forth, and some branch managers and division managers are just finding out they're actually doing this, and they're in panic mode and everything else on Thursdays and Fridays. But that wasn't going to stop it from happening. I'll just tell you what's going on at the bank. That's all.
Right. Well, the whole thing's so crazy anyway, because you say, oh, they're starting to train their people and the whole nah, nah, nah. But there's still a ton of banks that don't even know about it and say that it's not going to happen. So even if the people at the top know it, nobody's being trained in the bank to help. So it's going to have to be a thing that's a snap thing if they do it quickly when it happens, because most people don't know it's going to happen. Don't you agree?
I do agree with you. And they've had 10 years to prepare, except for the ones who just find out that morning, what do you mean we're doing this? I've been telling people for years we're not going to do this, and now we're going to do it? And they're going to say, we just decided it's to our advantage to go ahead and get involved in the process. And that's what's going to happen, and they're going to go from there.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of problems. They're going to have to deal with those after it happens, for sure. But my last question, my husband was saying after the revaluation in Kuwait, it caused the economy to go crazy, and they put some kind of a law in place that the currency could not go up that much again. Do you agree with that? Do you know about a law that did that?
No. There's an agreement right now between Kuwait and Iraq that their currency won't differ more than 50 cents. And I thought it was 25 cents, but some Treasury guys over the week were telling me it's 50 cents. So it doesn't mess up the economy of the country next to them. What happened with Kuwait was when their currency revalued, all of their workers became rich, and they left the country. So, you know, Kuwaitis don't work. They just get a monthly stipend. All of their workers are foreigners. So they actually lost their workforce and had to rebuild their workforce because of that. Mm-hmm. Iraq isn't like that. It's going through their citizens. They don't have the same workforce that Kuwait had anyway. So that's one thing they don't have to worry about. But what they did was restrict the amount that the Iraq dinar would go up so people wouldn't leave Kuwait going over to Iraq.
Okay.
Where was a richer country at, okay?
So what's happening over there is what's different than what's happening here, because you said it was still going to be first mouth, second mouth, third mouth. So it's going to go up here when it hits the forex, right?
It's going to go, okay, here's the difference. I got a dollar, right? And you have a dollar. And the value of the dollar goes up. I still only have a dollar. It just buys more, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen in Iraq. They're still going to have dinar. It's just going to buy. Instead of buying three loaves of bread, they can buy four loaves of bread with that dollar now, or six loaves of bread with that dollar, just as an example. Over here, we're going to get more dollars. They're not going to get more dinars. Their value is going to increase. We're going to actually get more dollars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The value of the dollar is not going to increase. We're going to get more of them.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The two differences. Okay.
Right. Okay. Okay, it's all a little bit confusing, but honestly, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys bringing us all this info.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, Marilyn, we'll squeeze you in. 240, Marilyn.
Thank you, Mr. Ray Wren. I appreciate that. Good afternoon, Ray. Good morning, Tony. Still morning. Got a couple minutes left. My question actually is about the ZIM, and I want to just get some clarification. So, say for example, I have 10 ZIM, and I want to do 10 different projects. Do all of those projects have to be in Zimbabwe?
If you want to get the contract rate for the ZIM, those projects have to be agreed upon with the Zimbabwe government and the bank that you're going through. And, yes, those projects will be in Zimbabwe.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure that and explain it to a couple of people that were asking me, and I told them that's what I thought, but it's good to get the information from people who know more than I do.
Well, that's how it's been explained to me, so I'm explaining it to
okay.
you.
Well, I appreciate
you don't,
that.
I'm going to tell you what.
Okay.
What I tell everybody, get more Zim. Or if they get more dog.
That would be wonderful.
Dollars.
Oh, and the dong where I was going to tell you the dong where I buy mine is $39.94 or $500,000.
Oh, that's half.
Oh, for $500,000, half a million.
Yeah,
500,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
But $1 million is $75. Okay.
Right. Right. So, and I buy it online. So. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
I appreciate
okay.
you. So much, and
all right.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You're welcome. You do the same.
Alrighty.
Bye bye.
All right, Tony. That's it for time. What's your closing say?
That's it. It's over already. Man, we got to have more people call in. No, I'm good. All right, guys. Again, it was an interesting weekend just watching and hearing what was happening and how fast they're moving and trying to build this economy back and their banking system and getting people to believe in it because that's all they've been doing. They're putting money out there and growing the economy. I gave you guys the answer back from our bank guy saying that the code is not there, so it's blank. It was there. It was an effective date. It's blank right now. And they don't think anything's going to happen this week, is what he's saying to me right now. The banker in Iraq doesn't think anything's going to happen until after the election. He said he has to lower the norms. They got the rules. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They're waiting for the go. The bank guy here in the U.S. did say we're waiting for Iraq to go because we're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to tell them to go. We know what a body said. We know what the CBI has said, stabilize and secure. If they were talking about the country, we're seeing that every day. If they were talking about the banking system, they're putting out articles over the weekend, how secure it is. How they ran it for this period of time with no hacks, no mistakes, no nothing. So they're believing in it. They're stabilizing it. There's no problems. They're getting checking accounts set up. They're using the Visa, the MasterCard. Everything's built up to it. So it's just really, is it before the election or after the election? Because everything they're showing us and telling us means it is actually completed, and it could go either way. It just makes more sense to me, and probably a whole lot of other people, for them to do it before the election. We'd like to see it today, 12 days and build up. But they may do it on the 6th, 7th, or 8th and make people be celebrating for the election and let it go through then. And I'm just going to wait and see if that happens first. I'm still expecting it to go before then. I'm looking for it to go before then. Because if it goes after then, we'll just have to worry about it after and see what happens with Parliament and everything else. But we know it's done. We know it's completed on this side. We know everything's completed on their side. And we're not waiting for laws, rules, or anything else. Because nobody said that's what they needed. The body didn't say it. Alack didn't say it. He needed any more laws, rules, any more decisions. He said it is done. All we're waiting is to activate it. So that's what we wait for. I'm going to have a great day. I really didn't want to talk to you guys on Wednesday, but it's a possibility. So we'll wait and see what happens on Wednesday. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm enjoying mine. Ray?
All right. Thank you, sir. And TNT family, remember PYP, protect your principal. especially those of you who are not going to be exchanging into the 75 million, 100 million, well, I guess even the 50 million can kind of get away with it. But anything lower than that, you guys really need to focus on protect your principal. Well, all of us should. But the smaller guys, you definitely have to make that a priority. Protect your principal. Don't spend it unless you absolutely have to. Try to borrow whatever you need to pay for the things that you need to pay for immediately. Everything else can be paid over time. Let your money go to work for you and let it create that revenue so that you can make those payments. Some of our members have been still missing out on the concept of utopian giving, the ABCs of giving. And if we have to keep reviewing that every day, we will, to make sure that you grasp it and understand it. It means so much more than just the little bit that I give it when we speak on a call. And if you aren't grasping the little parts, then you're really going to be missing out on the big parts that time doesn't give us the opportunity to say on this particular call, but on the subsequent calls that we do and the little weekend training calls and things of that nature. We're going to try to drive it home for those who really need a better understanding of it. It is your best friend, especially option C. And one more thing before we let you go, because we don't know when this thing is going to pop, but the investment community is well aware of what is going on. When I say the investment community, I'm talking about more than just banks. I'm talking about other places that have investment products to sell in addition to the banks. And we've always told you, don't rush to do your investments. I shared that with you from a banking perspective initially. And now that I've been tapping into some other investment community sources, we'll put it that way, they too are pretty much planning like the banking community is planning. And that is that they want your money. There's no question about that. They want to sell you their investment product. There's no question about that. But they're not going to give you the best thing first. And there's no question about that. At least that's not what they're being trained to do. You're going to have to ask for it. And in some cases, demand it. Don't bite the first thing that gets put on the plate in any of the investment arenas. That's another reason why you don't need to rush into them. Because as we learn what's out there and learn the best way to take advantage of it, the network will bring that information to you. We will network and provide that. And the only way that you can benefit from it is if you wait to learn from it. Fools rush in where wise men never follow. I think that's how that phrase used to go. But anyway, don't rush. Take your time. Let us gather the information, assess the situation, and then execute a plan of action. And enjoy this marvelous Monday, and we'll see what happens between now and when we return with you on Wednesday. Keep believing. We sure do.
This keeps me going on those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
God's already pre-approved you for it. Come on, Zaccardi.
I believe that my God is a healer. Yes, he is. And I believe that I will survive.
Tells us that if any two of us shall agree on anything on earth, that God will do it for us in heaven. And I know sometimes life has a way of knocking you down to the point where you can't even pray
for
yourself. But today I want to agree with you that it's getting ready to get better. And right now we are giving your problem an expiration date. And we're saying it's over. That you've been crying long enough. That you've been worried long enough. That you've been struggling long enough. And I believe that God's going to do it for you. About your future.